It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Well, hello there. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome on in. Wednesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. It is March 22nd of 2023, and we are just one sleep away from the madness continuing, Sweet 16 style. Very much looking to that. I'm sure plenty of you out there had Princeton and Florida Atlantic in your Sweet 16s. I did see earlier today that there are no correct brackets left in the ESPN bracket pool. I mean, among obviously millions of brackets that are submitted at the Worldwide Leaders website, none are left perfect. And I always feel like there's always that. There's got to be that person out there that just puts forth like 150 combinations. I wish I had that handy, like how many combinations. And there's probably somebody out in the audience that goes, well, Cole, you just got to take this times that or whatever. Well, here's the thing. There's a reason why I'm here and I'm not crunching numbers for a living. So that's that. All right. But that's there's been crazy upsets in years past, and there's always been at least one or two, right? Perfect brackets. So I guess that just proves to me, I mean, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer or anything or try to take the fun out of it for anybody, but I fill out a bracket for myself anymore. I don't even do a pool because, I mean, how many times do you have to be in a pool and see that, you know, the one dude that you work with that doesn't even like sports and picked it by, I like their mascot. Or, you know, just the totally random picks anymore seem to be the folks who end up, you know, coming away with the money in the pool. So, yeah, I guess I took my ball and went home. But I still fill out a bracket for myself. And I haven't thrown it away yet, and I don't know why. It really needs to be recycled. It's sitting just to the left of me. But, yeah, we got Sweet 16 coverage coming up tomorrow night at 5, which means I will be back with you on Friday at 5 as we will have coverage of Blackhawks hockey at 6:45 tomorrow night. So no show tomorrow, but we got a lot to get to today. I'm pumped up about it. Details in just a bit. First things first, however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. And like the Facebook page. Type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find us on the old Zuck machine. Hammer that like button. You'll be all set, ready to go. Check out the website. Bookmark it, 1650thefan.com. It's where you get the podcast of this program. It's also where you get all sorts of local and statewide sports content. And dial me up today if you have any questions or comments to add to the show. 319-277-1918. 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or you could email the show. Email address is cole@1650thefan.com. All right, coming up today on the show, like always, we'll get it going here in just a little bit with area sports news and scores. Some big breaking news for Iowa State women's basketball today. We'll get to that, of course, in the stack in just a bit. After we're done there, we'll get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN Action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this nice Wednesday we are having right now, and hopefully it stays this way. I think maybe a chance of rain is what's in the forecast, so we'll see what Megan Mulford has to tell us at the end of this first time out. We'll come back on the other side, and in the second segment today, the coach, ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman, will join the show. We've got a preview of the Sweet 16, talk about what's happened in this NCAA tournament. Also want to ask Coach, you know, what's the biggest thing headed into the offseason for Iowa State, Iowa, UNI, and Drake men's basketball? We'll get into that, and I know Coach wants to dig into the coaching carousel that continues to unfold, and we talked a little bit about that yesterday when we brought up that scumbag Rick Pitino going to St. John's. So we got a lot to get to with the coach. Want to make sure we stay on schedule. After we're done talking with Coach Lehman, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim, and come back on the other side of that break. And our friend Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register is going to join. He'll talk to us about that breaking news for Iowa State women's basketball today. We'll talk about the Chicago and Iowa Cubs being very close to opening day. I think the Iowa Cubs are going to be a great watch, well worth your money if you want to make a trip to the capital city this summer and take in some AAA baseball. And we'll also talk with Tommy about the World Baseball Classic. And, you know, I wasn't, like, into it. I think I might actually be in the minority here because so many more folks were just seemed to be way more into this World Baseball Classic than previous iterations of it. And the environment is great, especially, like, Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic and Japan. Like, what they bring to any given ballpark they play in the WBC is really something special. And then last night you had the showdown, right? Japan against the United States, and it comes down to a Hollywood ending with Shohei Ohtani on the mound to close it out against Mike Trout, his teammate. And he gets the best of him. 3-2 the final. Japan wins the WBC. But, man, that was a fun baseball game to watch. And like I said, I wasn't deep into it like a lot of other people were. I was still keeping an eye on Cubs spring training as much as the WBC, especially like back in pool play. But I watched some of the quarterfinals, semifinals, and of course last night's final, and really liked it. Was into it probably even more than I thought when I flipped it on the television. And I hope it's something that continues to happen every 4 years since there's no, you know, there hasn't been a World Cup. There's no baseball in the Olympics. I think it's imperfect, but I still think it's great. And it seems to only be getting better. So we'll talk about that a little bit with Tommy Birch when he joins us in the third segment today. After we're done with Tommy, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary for a Wednesday, then come back for a final time and wrap up the show. All right, that's what's on the agenda. Let's go ahead and dive right in here. We'll start with area sports news and scores. And the breaking news, as I had mentioned here, for Iowa State women's basketball, Stephanie Soares, outstanding 6'6" center for the Cyclones this year. Remember, she went down with a knee injury after 13 games. Well, her career at Iowa State is officially over. Iowa State coach Bill Finley said that Soares' waiver request to the NCAA to gain another season of eligibility has been denied, effectively ending her college career. The 6'6" center for the Cyclones had been trying to gain another season after that knee injury. In that 13th game, she injured the same knee while playing at the Masters University in California, where she was before transferring to Iowa State. She was a two-time NAIA Player of the Year and was averaging 14 points and 9.9 rebounds a game prior to her injury. I got to watch her here in Cedar Falls at McLeod Center when they took on the UNI Panthers, and man, what a talent. And you just felt like if she had another year to continue to hone her skills inside Coach Finley's program, she would really, really be a menace in the Big 12. But ask Tommy Birch ahead of our conversation today, and he says there is a lot of WNBA interest in Stephanie Soares. So something we'll get into with Tommy when he joins us. The Iowa State softball team returned to the field this afternoon after a nine-day layoff. Iowa State 11-13 entering today's game at Nebraska. The Cornhuskers 19-9. That one began at 4 o'clock. For the second week in a row, UNI pitcher Sammy Heyer named the Missouri Valley Conference Pitcher of the Week. In a three-game series against Murray State this past weekend, Heyer made three appearances, going 2-0 and picking up a save. One of her wins was a complete game, one-hit shutout featuring 13 strikeouts. In 12 innings of work, she allowed just two hits, struck out 24, and allowed no walks. The Iowa baseball team is hosting Grandview right now. The two teams were scheduled to play yesterday, but due to the weather, the game was moved to today. Get this, the Iowa baseball team is 15-3. That's its best start since 1939. First pitch at Duane Banks Field was at 4:05 this afternoon. And, of course, the Iowa women's basketball team continues to prepare for its NCAA Tournament Sweet 16 game this Friday night. This is the fourth time Coach Lisa Bluter has guided a Hawkeye team to the Sweet 16 and the third time since 2019. The second-seeded Hawkeyes face sixth-seed Colorado at 6:30 Friday night in Seattle. The Hawkeyes open the tournament with a 95-43 win against Southeastern Louisiana and then beat Georgia in the round of 32, 74-66. Colorado, meanwhile, defeated Middle Tennessee 82-60 in the first round, then won in overtime 61-53 against Duke. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, the coach, Kevin Lehman. We preview the Sweet 16. Talk about what's the biggest thing facing Iowa State, Iowa, you and I, and Drake Men's Hoops headed into the offseason. And we take a peek at the unfolding coaching carousel. That's all next, right here on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Sports Flash. And sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today to find out if you could save hundreds on your car insurance. Well, it may be the precursor to that big trade that Maggie was alluding to, is the Jets trying to get more draft capital to acquire Aaron Rodgers, picking up the 42nd pick overall from the Browns today for Elijah Moore, and the 74th pick overall, Mecole Hardman, replaces Moore, getting a one-year deal reportedly worth as much as $6.5 million. Russell Wilson coming off his worst season. Perhaps there's a small reason behind it. The Broncos quarterback reportedly underwent knee surgery today after being bothered by the issue for several years. He is expected to be 100% for the start of the season. Ed Cooley introduced today as the new coach at Georgetown after 12 years at Providence, which has identified its next coach. They are interested in George Mason's Kim English and set to meet with him later this week. Paul George will miss at least a couple of weeks with a sprained knee before he's reevaluated. The Denver Nuggets have been the best team in the West for much of the season, but a late season slide is threatening that. The Nuggets are in Washington. They have dropped 5 of 7 and have a 3.5 game lead over the Grizzlies, who take on the Rockets tonight. I'm Rich Ackerman.
CBS Sports is everywhere, at home, in your car, and of course on your phone and tablet. Find us on your local affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 158, or the free Odyssey app.
Listen to the NCAA tournament right here on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650, The Fan.
At Waterloo Schools, we believe in bold ideas, bold goals, bold ambitions, and taking bold steps to help our students achieve their dreams. This month, we're celebrating some major achievements in winter sports and extracurriculars, like Waterloo West's Hallie Polk just broke the Wahawk all-time scoring record and reached the 2,000-point milestone. Then, at the Tall Corn Jazz Festival, Waterloo West and East performed masterfully, with East's Braden Peterson and Blazin Barbie McLemore bringing home the Outstanding Soloist Award for their performances. And our student athletes from East and West made it to state in wrestling, and our girls and boys bowling teams made it to the state bowling tournament as well. We're celebrating these wins and more as we make our way through the championship season for our winter sports. But it all starts in the classroom, where at Waterloo Schools, we inspire students to go beyond doubt and fear, to persevere and be bold. Join us at waterlooschools.org.
First Maxfield Mutual Insurance provides protection for your home or farm you can afford, all backed by friendly hometown service. Their staff knows the area, and for over 150 years, Cedar Valley residents have counted on them for quality protection for farm mutual insurance. Contact First Maxfield Mutual, a Grinnell Mutual member, for all your insurance needs.
First Maxfield Mutual, our strength is your security.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Get insights into the sports betting market with VSiN's betting splits. See where the money is and keep updated on how the market is reacting.
Yeah, you got
only
me.
At VSIN.com. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys
in the desert.
Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament tomorrow. Madison Square Garden, Michigan State laying 2 against Kansas State. Tennessee, the 5.5-point favorite over Florida.
I don't know.
In Las Vegas to the West Region semifinal. UConn laying 3.5 against Arkansas. UCLA, a 2-point favorite over Gonzaga. The Bulls at home tonight.
No, put it back on.
3.5-point underdogs, 221.5 the total. The Bulls have won 3 straight and 5 of 6, including a 109-105 double overtime win at Philadelphia Monday as an 8-point underdog. Cactus League baseball today, the Cubs another 25 favorite at the A's.
45 seconds.
Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Overcast tonight with mixed precipitation likely. Lows around 31. North winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. A mixture of precipitation likely again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 42. Cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 27. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. A dusting of snow tonight with another dusting Friday night. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 49.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
Cole and Company with Colbert.
I do.
On 1650 The Fan.
Now, are you just saying you want to have fun, or do you really want to have fun?
Welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show continues, and the Sweet 16 begins tomorrow night. You'll hear coverage right here on The Fan beginning at 5 o'clock. So if we're not going to have a show tomorrow and make way for the sweetness of the final 16 teams left in the NCAA men's basketball tournament, we got to make sure we're all set and ready to go. So that's why we brought the coach in. ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman joins us now on this Wednesday edition of the show. Coach, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. I'm kind of fired up. You know, you go into withdrawals after the Sweet 16 weekends because the games, there's fewer and fewer games once you get past Sunday.
Yeah, it's serious, the withdrawals are. And, you know, where I want to start is, you know, you being the expert analyst that you are, I'm sure that you had 15-seed Princeton and 9-seed FAU in the Sweet 16 on your bracket, did you not?
I was all over that. Yeah, I had Purdue going all the way to the Final Four. So that bracket is blown in that quadrant, but I'm still alive with Texas, Alabama, and Gonzaga. I think it's maybe the year for the Zags.
All right. I've got Houston, Gonzaga, and Alabama, so we're not too far off one another. When it comes to sizing up this Sweet 16, Coach, I think somebody we definitely got to bring up, you know, just outside of our backyard, Greg McDermott, his 6-seed Creighton Blue Jays, looking pretty damn good. What do you think they can get the best of Princeton here that's obviously on this Cinderella run?
Yeah, I think they can. I think that bracket has really opened up for them, but they've got to get through Alabama, which probably has the most talent of anybody left in the field. It's just hard for me to pick Alabama because they've got so many off-court issues going on. But, you know, this is the thing about Creighton. Sweet 16 last year, that was the first Sweet 16 for the Blue Jays since like the 70s. That was a great trivia question. Now they got a chance to go to the Elite Eight if they can knock off this Princeton team.
Tell us, because you know Coach McDermott, tell us what, when a Coach McDermott team is going well, when he's got the talent that he needs, like what separates his teams apart and makes them such a tough beat?
Well, it's interesting the way that he's been able to morph. One of the great things that Greg McDermott has done is changed his coaching style. If you remember the days at Northern Iowa, it was very structured and set plays. Same thing at Iowa State. He went to Creighton and reinvigorated his entire career. They play in fast, shot a lot of threes past years. This year is a team that's really good defensively with Cockburn, their big man, 7-footer in the middle, patrolling the point. Nimhard, where his brother played for Gonzaga, mm-hmm. is their point guard. So they got five guys that can really score the basketball. The problem that the Blue Jays have is they do not have any depth. And what you need this time of year is, you know, Cole, if somebody yeah. goes cold, a lot of times you need the guy to come off that bench and give you some points or some rebounds or some production. They just don't have that. That's the concern I have for the Blue Jays getting all the way to the Final Four.
You told us who you had picked. So among the 16 left, I imagine it's going to be one of these three that you still have alive in your bracket to make it to the championship game. But if you had to put your money on one of those teams, who do you like the most right now, given what you've seen?
Well, talent-wise, I like Alabama, but I just can't cheer for them. Texas, my concern, I think that's a team that I'm kind of picking to win it all. But you've got a new coach there, Rodney Perry, who's yeah. still got the interim tag on him. It's kind of a strange deal. Now, my son and I went to that regional in Des Moines and watched him. You know, I watched Arkansas played really well against a Kansas mm-hmm. team that just seemed to be lacking their head coach in Texas with a really huge win there. So I think this Texas team might be coming together with Marcus Carr. Tyrese Halliburton has not been a big scorer for them, but their front line is really developed for this Texas team. And I love Jabari Smith comes off the bench. This guy's a big time. He's instant offense. He's that old time Vinnie Johnson scorer off the bench for the Longhorns.
I shouldn't do this to you, but you had a Freudian slip there. You called Tyrese Hunter Tyrese Halliburton.
No, yeah. Tyrese is going through cyclone area. Thanks, man.
Hey, Halliburton, though, he's playing pretty damn well. I think better than even the biggest Cyclone fan might have thought in the NBA. I know you don't watch much NBA, but he's balling, Coach.
I know, and so is Keegan Murray. I see he had a big game the other night, too. He had like six threes or something, but that's the way it goes, man. Tyrese Hunter.
Tyrese Hunter got that bag, as the kids would say. That's why he ended up in Austin. Big shout out to NIL for that one. But all right, let's dive in here. I want to ask you, what's the biggest thing headed into the offseason now for Iowa, Iowa State, you and I, and Drake? And let's start with the Hawkeyes. News today that both Josh Ogunleye, not a surprise, but then Aaron Ulis, I think a little bit of a surprise at least, as he was a rotational guard. Those two are in the transfer portal. There's speculation that there could be even more roster movement for the Hawkeyes. Not that that can surprise anybody. It can happen to any team at this point, but it looks like, despite the fact that Fran's got four pretty well-regarded recruits coming in, that he's going to have to call it a rebuild or a retool. He's going to be busy, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's clearing cap space, and that's what we're seeing college teams do right now. They're clearing cap space so they can get active in the portal. It's happening fast, as you know, Cole. A whole bunch of people have entered that portal here in the first couple days. It's open. I was a little surprised by Ulis also, because I thought, okay, here's a guy that's going to come back, make a huge jump, going to be a senior. You got Samford, you got Tony Perkins, you got some, and Patrick McCaffrey. There's some good pieces there. They need, obviously somebody in the middle to step up, because the other guy's going to be young coming in. But I think that's what you're seeing today, that if you're not active in the transfer portal, you're not going to be able to compete. Because if you look at those teams here in the mm-hmm. in the Sweet 16, they plugged holes. A lot of them have returning guys, but they plug their weaknesses through the portal.
I think that Drake is in a similar situation that Iowa finds themselves in here, where you've got some graduation, you've got some guys that have already entered the portal. I can't say the kid's last name, but he's the sharpshooter off the bench who was kind of like the 7.5, 8.5 man in the rotation. Didn't always play, but when he did, he shot it well. They have another young redshirt freshman out of Texas who's entered the portal, the Drake Bulldogs do. So just even more attrition on a roster that was set for a lot of it this offseason. Coach, would it be fair to say that Darren DeVries, who took the helm for the Drake Bulldogs in 2018 and did an incredible job of a quick build in Des Moines, that this one he faces right now, these circumstances, may be more daunting than when he first got there?
Well, he only had two players when he first got there. Garrett Sturts was his third guy, so Yeah, it's a good comparison, but certainly there's some guys that were there a long time, and there's a lot of experience that's going by the wayside, and especially in the backcourt with Penn and Wilkins. We know that's a big key for success in college basketball. You got to have an old backcourt. And, yeah, it's a rebuild there. I think I have to agree with you on that for Darren DeVries, but he's got a good piece coming back in his son, Tucker.
Yeah, and that's going to make it a lot easier to recruit, you would think, in terms of getting guys out of the portal to come to Drake. There's playing time available. That's always a big factor when it's easy to look at a roster if you're a guy in the portal and see playing time there. Let's next go to Iowa State. They've got a very, very highly regarded recruiting class, Omaha Ballou. I think it's I know how to say his last name, Momcilovic, the Wisconsin Mr. Basketball, top-rated recruit there, a stretch four. So a lot going into that front court, but the front court wasn't necessarily the problem, or at least it wasn't an area where the Cyclones lacked depth. I mean, this offseason is going to come down to finding some guards, right?
Well, they got Lipsy back, and then who's the guy that tore his Achilles out of Temple?
Williams.
He's going to be back, too. Yeah, I'm not sure if he's going to be ready and go until, like, in the fall, because that's a very severe injury. But really talented recruiting class, you know, top 10 in the country. A couple guys that are five stars. But I look for T.J. Osselberg to go in that portal like he's done, Cole. And he's got a nice – I mean, he knows what he's looking for. They don't recruit from the portal. They select guys. And they're looking for people coming out of high school that were underrated, don't have stars out their name, the Holmes type guys,
yeah,
Jaron Holmes, that are trying to prove themselves at the high major level and are hungry dudes. I think that formula has really served Iowa State well. And TJ, I look for him to do that again. He doesn't have to do it as big as he had in the past because he's got that really strong freshman class coming in.
ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman, our guest right now on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company, sizing up what Iowa State, Drake, and you and I are looking at this offseason. And coach, our last one to get to, Ben Jacobson's UNI Panthers, is strange as this might sound to people listening, because we just talked about three teams that all made the NCAA tournament. I think going into this offseason, on paper right now, UNI is the team that will probably be able, or at least staff-wise, they'll be able to get more sleep than the Iowa State and Drake staffs, because the workload, like we talked about, with roster building is much heavier for them after the transfer of 6'11 center Jacob Hudson in from Loyola Chicago the week before last. The Panthers roster is pretty much set, and it's like it has been, really. They've been the outlier where they haven't seen near as much roster movement in terms of the transfer portal. I'm guessing there's going to be one, maybe two, but don't you agree that the way things set right now, Ben Jacobson's staff set to get a little bit more sleep than the other three teams we talked about?
Oh, no question. You know, Duax coming back, Trey Campbell coming back, Wolf coming back. They got some really good pieces there, young pieces. And Ben Jacobson is continuing to try to be a developmental program with them. Joy, those guys are going to be redshirted. Of course, we can't forget Bowen Bourne coming back. Great piece to build around. You know, Hudson, when he backed up Cameron Crutwig at Loyola, I really liked him. He had a huge game at Arch Madness one year, and then he just kind of disappeared off the map. I don't know what happened to him. But he's a big body, soft hands, can run, and I know he was highly recruited by the Panthers coming out of high school. His sister went to Loyola. That's kind of how he ended up at Loyola. And I think he originally was a walk-on for the Ramblers. So that's a nice piece that Northern Iowa has added.
All right, let's get into the coaching carousel. And I was trying to save all of this discussion, but I couldn't help myself yesterday when I saw some of the things that Rick Pitino had to say at his press conference at Madison Square Garden for St. John's. That guy's such a scumbag. I hope St. John's loses. I hope St. John's loses every game they play with him. But beside that, coach, what's really caught your eye here in the coaching carousel?
Well, the fact that St. John doesn't want to pay Mike Anderson and trying to fire him with cause because of academic?
Oh, jeez.
Academic progress, and now you bring in Rick Pitino. I'm like, somebody talking on both sides of their mouth there, St. John. So I don't know what's going to happen with that stuff. But, you know, today's news, it looks like Shrewsbury may be going to Notre Dame, which is going to open up the Penn State job in the Big Ten. These dominoes are going to fall fast, Cole, because they don't want to miss out on the transfer portal. So look for the hiring of basketball coaches to appear even faster. And we got Paul Mills from Oral Roberts going to Wichita State. I thought that was an interesting hire. And, you know, the big job still open is Texas Tech.
And no jobs open in the Missouri Valley Conference, right?
Not that I'm aware of anything that was going to happen. It would happen by now. So it was probably the first year in a long time that we've had stability in the coaching ranks in the Valley.
And I thought Matt Lodick was in the last year of his deal at Valpo. Is that not the case? Did I miss? Was there? It's a private school, so they can always do those secret extensions.
Yeah, I don't know what the situation there. You know, he was all excited that Ben Krikey may come back for a fifth year and get some point guards around them. But I think it would have happened. The dismissal would have happened by now because, as we said, you know, guys are trying to grab people up. These ADs they're in a rush to get coaches. So the coaches can get in the portal.
Okay, before I let you go, do you think it would be more likely for Kyle Green, TJ Altsberger's associate head coach, or Darren DeVries to potentially find themselves in position for a head coaching job elsewhere? I'm not wishing those guys away from the programs they're at. I know, folks, I've had Iowa State fans reach out to me after we've talked about KG before saying, we need Coach Green. And yeah, you do. He's great. And we know that there's been, you know, a little bit of smoke out there over the past couple years with Coach DeVries. So what, if anything, are you hearing about those two? What kind of likelihood would you give?
Well, you know, Darren's name got kicked around a little bit at Wichita State. Of course, that position has been filled, but that's about all I've heard. You know, I had a couple people mention Notre Dame, but I don't, you know, that's a great question. I'm not their agent. I don't know what's going to happen there. You know, Kyle Green, I'm not sure if his ambition is to be a head coach. I know he has at certain times in the past at Lewis College, school in Colorado, because I played him when I was in Omaha. But I get it kind of depends. I tell you what, those guys that are associate head coaches at those major conferences, those guys get a pretty good paycheck.
Better than ours.
It's pretty good. I mean, they're making $500,000 and so forth, and you're wondering, what is the going rate at the mid-major schools right now? I don't know. I haven't been able to keep up on those salaries because, boy, there's certainly – what's St. John's playing Patino? Has that thing come out?
I couldn't look.
Public yet?
I haven't looked. I just saw it was a six-year deal, and I wasn't going to look out of disgust for that loser.
Wait, I see you really like old Rick Pitino.
Can't stand that guy.
He's 70 years old. He's 70 years old.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have anything nice to say about Pitino, so I'll just let you go, Coach, all right?
We can leave that one as it is, huh?
Yeah.
But hey, we got it. What about Ed Cooley jumping conference ships, going from Providence to Georgetown?
That's a lateral move anymore. I mean, with respect to Georgetown, they haven't been good since John Thompson was there. That's a lateral move at best.
That one's kind of puzzled me.
They must have backed up the Brinks truck.
Yeah, they must have. And evidently Georgetown is, you know, the sleeping giant, as they said before. But
I've been asleep for a while.
You know what else? The Big East has fared well in the Sweet 16. They got five teams with bids, three of them still surviving.
Yep, but tell me more about how we needed nine Big Ten teams in. Fake conference.
Well, we ended up getting eight. We got one left. Big 12 had seven, and they've got two left.
Yeah. All right. Coach, I got to run. Buddy. Don't get me on a tangent. I don't have the time.
I'm trying to push your buttons.
You're doing it, Dan. All right, get out of here.
We'll see ya.
ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman, kind enough to join us on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's take this time out. On the other side, we'll talk some baseball. That'll put me back in a good mood. No thanks to Coach here. Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register, joins us next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Former Iowa State star Alan Lazard is officially a New York Jet. After spending the past five seasons in Green Bay, Lazard signed a four-year, $44 million contract with the Jets. $22 million of it is guaranteed.
If you would have told me
5, 6 years ago, I was going to go undrafted, and then I was going to play for the New York Jets. They're going to be wanting me in free agency to sign me to a 4-year deal. I would have never thought my career would have turned out like this.
Lazard is coming off a season in which he had 60 catches, including 6 for touchdowns. Current Cyclone players looking to follow in Lazard's footsteps took part in Pro Day in Ames on Tuesday. Defensive back Anthony Johnson says the recent success of former Cyclone players in the NFL is helping current players during the evaluation process.
When you got more guys coming out of school, scouts are more prone to come and see, like, oh, they got something cooking up there. So I think those guys not only getting on teams and doing well helps us. Like, man, they're putting on and giving us the stage.
This is Radio Iowa.
Radio Iowa is virtually everywhere. Since its inception more than 35 years ago, Radio Iowa now boasts more than 80 broadcast signals, award-winning journalists bringing you news stories that are important to you and your family. Plus, we've got unrivaled sports coverage. And the Capitol? Radio Iowa covers the Capitol like no one else. Radio Iowa has the resources and social media presence to help you meet your business goals. Business owners, reach out for a meeting with a strategic marketing executive today at radioiowa.com.
The first 3 years of every child's life are critical. Learn more about early intervention. How your baby or toddler plays, learns, talks, acts, and moves give important clues as to how they are developing. If you have any questions or concerns about whether your baby or toddler's development is on track, please call 1-800-515-BABY. That's 1-800-515-2229. Call 1-800-515-BABY. That's 1-800-515-2229.
Now, a March Madness schedule preview. Regional action ramps up tomorrow for the men's Sweet 16 and then on Friday for the women. Both have some great matchups on tap. For the men, Thursday action hits Las Vegas and New York City. And then on Friday, the two remaining one seeds return, with Alabama facing San Diego State in Louisville and then Houston taking on Miami in Kansas City. Hear Westwood One's exclusive coverage of the NCAA tournament right here.
Do you have taxiety? That nervous feeling when you realize it's tax time again, but you don't know how much it could cost you? Don't wait until the last minute to file. Liberty Tax will help you get your maximum refund at our lowest possible price. Our professional services start at just $69. Start your taxes today online at libertytax.com or schedule an in-person appointment with one of our local tax offices. Offer ends April 18th, 2023. Valid at participating locations. Terms and conditions apply. See website or office for details.
The Cedar Falls School District is announcing kindergarten registration. Attention all parents in Cedar Falls whose children will be in the class of 2036. State law requires that children must be 5 years old on or before September 15th in order to attend kindergarten in the 2023-24 academic year. Please call your local elementary school location from Aldrich, Cedar Heights, Hanson, Lincoln, North Cedar, Orchard Hill, and Southdale. Let them know you have an incoming kindergarten student. The principal will be in touch about additional information and a parent meeting. Completed kindergarten registration forms are required for all incoming students and must be turned in by March 30th. If you're unsure of your attendance area, please call the Cedar Falls Schools Administration Building. Visit cfschools.org.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today. Sign up as a member and get the first month free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, unlimited washes, skip the line, free mat washes, and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash. Fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online on Facebook or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo.
Always in moderation, right? Not with this guy. Get maximum sports from 5 to 6 right here on Cole & Company with Colbert.
Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. And folks, it's that time of the year. You're going to continue to hear more and more baseball and softball talk, both on this program and with Mark Simpson on Maximum Mornings. And we're going to talk a lot of baseball today on the show, as right now our friend Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register joins us. Make sure you follow Tommy on Twitter, at Tommy Burch. Does a great job covering the Cubs organization and beat writer covering the Iowa Cubs that I'm getting a a very good impression that that's going to be a ticket worth every penny this summer. And, of course, we'll dig into that. But first things first, though, had the news at the top of the show, and Tommy does a great job as well covering Iowa State women's basketball for the Register. Stephanie Soares, the outstanding center, played 13 of 32 games for Coach Finley's Cyclones before that season-ending knee injury, applied for an NCAA waiver to get an extra year of eligibility, and that was denied, as she made clear in the statement today that also announced her intention to enter the WNBA draft. So we'll start there with Tommy. Before I just say, hey, Tommy, what do you have to say about that? Thanks for being here, dude. It's good to be talking to you. It's good that we're a week and a day away from baseball getting going.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. It's a little hard to believe that opening day is right around the corner, but just watching the World Baseball Classic, you realize, like, man, competitive baseball is off and running and really close by.
Yeah, the WBC was such a treat to watch. I was into it completely last night. We'll talk about that in a second, but let's start with this news from Iowa State women's basketball today from Stephanie Soares. How would you describe the level of surprise here about her waiver being denied by the NCAA? I think that's right around a number as arbitrary as it all may seem, but that seems to be right around that magic number of if you play a little over this percent of the season, and she played 13 of 32, then you're probably not going to get that waiver. But who the hell knows? Because ever since COVID, it's like it all got turned upside down. So what are we to make of this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm really shocked. I mean, Iowa State seemed pretty optimistic that they put together a pretty compelling case just for the idea that she had suffered a torn ACL when she was at the Masters as well. She had missed time, but that actually ended up being during the COVID-19 year, but also the fact that, hey, they were 13 games into the season. But you know, you talk about the threshold. The threshold is you cannot play more than 30% of your team's games. Stephanie Soares did that. So there was optimism, though. Like I said, you know, the NCAA had actually asked for some more information regarding her case, I believe a week or two ago, which told me that they were taking a good, really long look at her and was at least very interested in the idea of possibly awarding her another year. And I think you made a really good point, too. When it comes to COVID-19, it seemed like everything after COVID-19, the NCAA has become a little bit more lenient when it came to giving out eligibility, when it came to transfer rules and stuff like that. Everything was just a little bit more easier. So I think from that element and some of the characteristics, it's just how confident Iowa State seems. It's a little bit of a surprise. Look at the raw numbers and how much time she had played, and not really too much of a shock, too.
Interesting stuff. And then as far as it relates to her WNBA prospects, how sought after do you get the impression that she might be, or do we have any sort of indication yet on what the WNBA thinks of Stephanie Soares?
They love her. They really love her. They loved her before she suffered the injury. They loved her after. They love her right now. An ESPN mock draft actually has her going fourth overall in the draft. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Wow.
But that really does not shock me all that much. Some of the WNBA evaluators I've talked to said that if she did decide to declare for the WNBA draft this year, she would get selected and she might be a first-round draft pick. And I think, look, when it comes to league, it's so much about potential, too. And there is so much potential when it comes to Stephanie Soares, where you have height, you have length, you have, athleticism, you have toughness, you have versatility. You know, for all those other intangibles, she can really shoot the three well. So those are really hard things to find. I think the best way to put it is, you know, I had one person in the WNBA tell me, look, it is hard to find people with her size.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find people with her size and her athleticism. It is darn near impossible to find people with her size, her athleticism, and her ability to shoot the three. So I think that's why you were seeing that WNBA teams, ever since she got her, have been telling Bill Finley, let us know how things are going. Keep us up to date on how her rehab is going.
Well, that's certainly bittersweet. You know, Cyclone fans right to hope for another year and Cardinal in gold, but at least it's looking great for her in terms of her professional prospects. Tommy, let's...
Yeah, that's actually another interesting case, too. And sorry to cut you off, Cole, but, you know, that, you know, even if she would have gotten the medical waiver, there are absolutely no guarantees she was going to come back as
okay.
well. The idea had always been she was going to get some information from WNBA teams, and if she liked what she heard, got some really good feedback, she may not come back as well. So the waiver would have been nice to have just so you have your options open, but it may have been a moot point as well.
Hmm. Interesting. Tommy, let's segue to baseball. Let's talk about that World Baseball Classic last night. 3-2, Japan gets the win. I mean, it couldn't have been scripted any better when you've got Shohei Ohtani closing that game down and strikes out Mike Trout to end it. Obviously, for us Americans, we could have said, well, it could have been scripted just a little bit better. But still, I mean, that was stuff made for a movie. And the entire World Baseball Classic, I think that's really the conversation, not just last night's championship game, which sure delivered, but it seems like there were way more people, way more into it. There's still a good block of baseball fans or casual sports fans that it doesn't even hit their radar, but I think what's important is what I pointed out there, that there's way more interested that are way more passionate about this.
Yeah, and look, this time of year, you usually do not have this type of interest, this type of passion, and this type of buzz around baseball. And, you know, for a long time during this spring training, there was some good buzz around baseball, but most of it had to do around the rule changes, you know, banning the shift, the pitch clock, the pickoff moves, stuff like that. That's good. You know, I think baseball is in a place where any publicity is probably good publicity and people are talking about the game, but once the World Baseball Classic started, the attention really shifted to, like, the actual play and the intensity, the excitement, and the drama that was unfolding in all these games. And, you know, I think it's going to be impossible for Major League Baseball to bottle up what they have with the World Baseball Classic and find a way to make that translate into everyday baseball. It's just flat out impossible when you have a 162-game season. But I think realistically what you hope is you build a bigger audience, you get those people in watching the World Baseball Classic, then they start watching the regular season too. And then that carries over to the postseason, where the postseason does have some of those same characteristics, some of those same feel, some of that same drama that the World Baseball Classic has. A
few more minutes here with Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register. Follow Tommy on Twitter, at Tommy Burch. And we've got, what, 8 days till opening day, a week from tomorrow. You'll hear it right here on The Fan. The Cubs open up against the Milwaukee Brewers at Wrigley Field. That's going to be a 12:45 pregame and a 1:20 first pitch. What else, right, when it comes to opening day, a 1:20 first pitch? And, Tommy, I think the place to start the conversation here as it relates to Cubs baseball is you kind of in that, like, 20 to 30-ish range of the roster when it comes to putting a 26-man roster together to go to Chicago with. Do you get the impression that I have that there are some names that maybe 2 or 3 months ago the both of us would have said, oh, yeah, he's probably going to make the roster. Yeah, oh, yeah, he'll make the roster, and they don't make the roster?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a really interesting place for the Cubs, one that they're kind of in this weird spot in kind of the rebuild, even though they aren't calling it a rebuild. They haven't called it a rebuild for a couple years, but they just don't know where they are in terms of, like, okay, how good they're going to be, what they're going to be capable of. And then plus, like, man, there are some guys that just have options still that, you know, it's like, okay, it's like a Christopher Morel seems like the most obvious one where you look back and you think, like, okay, this guy, he got up, he stayed up, probably not going back down to the minor league. Now you look around the field and you're kind of like, okay, where does Christopher Morel belong? You want that guy to get every day at bat. What's best for him? Development, playing every day, or being in the big league? So there are a lot of questions that still need to be answered with this team, which I think makes it really interesting. And I think also the World Baseball Classic did that too, where it's like, man, it's opened up some opportunities for other guys to get out onto the field at big league camp and get their chance to shine, and some have really taken advantage of it.
And Tommy, this, I mean, the fallout of that, where obviously Cubs fans all across the country are going, man, I can't believe that guy didn't make the 26-man roster. Can't believe that guy didn't make it. You add those type of decisions, those fringe roster decisions, to what continues to be a build-up or a rebuild-up of the minor league system. This should be a pretty damn good watch in terms of an iCubs team this season, shouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you're going to have a lot of prospects that are going to be making their way up. Obviously, you have some of those fringe guys. You have some guys that you've seen before, then some guys that you've never seen before. You know, obviously, the big name is going to be Pete Crow Armstrong, where he starts the season. Probably it's going to be Double-A, but, man, like, that guy got a lot of run during big league camp and looked okay at times. So, you know, I think at some point you're going to see PCA in Des Moines. You're going to have Brennan Davis back in Des Moines. You're going to have a lot of really good arms soon. I think that's kind of been the knock on the Cubs over the last couple of years, where the lack of homegrown talent in terms of pitching just hasn't been there. But over maybe the last 2, 3, 4 years, they've really put an emphasis on drafting, developing, and really moving up their own pitchers throughout the system. And I think probably for the first time in a long time, Des Moines is going to reap the benefit of that and see a good, consistent wave of arms making their way through. You know, it's not to say that the Cubs didn't have some arms, because obviously they did, but just not this type of wave. You know, in the past, it's always been the position player guys.
Tommy, great stuff as always, man. Great to catch up. Even better to be talking baseball, and we'll be looking forward to doing more of that with you in the months and weeks to come. So thanks, man. Have a great rest of your day.
Man, looking forward to it. Thanks, Cole.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. After trading for Brandon Cooks to help out their offense, the Cowboys are bringing back a key piece of their defense now as well. Dante Fowler Jr. agreed to a one-year deal to stay in Dallas, per NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Fowler had 6 sacks last season. Dallas may have also found a replacement for Zeke Elliott, agreeing to a one-year deal with former Bucs and Chiefs running back Ronald Jones. Former Patriots back Damian Harris is staying in the AFC East. He signed a one-year deal with the Bills, while former Buffalo receiver Isaiah McKenzie is heading to the Colts. And expect the unexpected with the first overall pick. Longtime Panthers linebacker and current NFL Network analyst Thomas Davis says his old team could make a, quote, very, very surprising pick at one overall, in the form of Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson. Davis says he's been told several Panthers execs are huge fans of Richardson's athletic ability. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Does it run? Does it drive? Great. We'll give you $3,500 guaranteed trade on your next purchase at Community Chevrolet Cadillac in Cedar Falls. Hi, I'm Luke Schmidt, General Manager at Community Chevrolet Cadillac, and we've got a great selection for your $3,500 trade. Whether it's new or pre-owned, we've got a full lot ready to find a new home. So if it runs and drives, bring it on over and we'll give you $3,500 trade-in. Simple, straightforward deals guaranteed at Community Chevrolet Cadillac in Cedar Falls.
Deal ends March 31st. See dealer for complete details.
We don't realize how much our breathing affects our everyday lives until this, or this, or this. Our team at Cedar Valley Center for ENT, Sinus, and Allergy is here to make breathing a breeze. We will treat your allergies, sleep apnea, and sinusitis using innovative procedures and technology. Talk to Dr. David Congdon and Dr. Kenny Rodriguez and put your breathing problems in the past. Call 319-888-8044 for a consultation today. Don't let breathing problems disrupt your everyday life. Breathe easy with Cedar Valley Center for ENT, Sinus, and Allergy.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The World Baseball Classic's been around since 2006, but this season, the tournament has seen a huge rise in popularity. That all came to a conclusion last night as Japan took down Team USA. Despite the competitive atmosphere, a lot of fans have argued against the tournament due to the potential dangers of injury. Just look at Edwin Diaz and Jose Altuve. Those concerns are valid, but when you review all the success the WBC has had this year, it's hard to see baseball going in a different direction. Last year's World Series had an average of just over 12 million views per game. Japan's quarterfinal game against Italy totaled over 64 million. Not to mention baseball's most valuable talent, Shohei Ohtani, has gained over 2 million new social media followers since the start of the tournament. That's a goldmine for Major League Baseball. And let's not get caught up in 2 freak injuries here. The WBC has already been renewed, and with the amount of money this year's tournament proved capable of generating, there's no turning back now. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
Intelligence runs in the family. Innovation runs in the family. Extraordinary runs in the family. The 2023 Mercedes-Benz SUV family. Their only competition is each other. Each of the impressive models features world-class innovations ranging from MBUX voice-activated assistance technology to safety features like attention assist that can detect drowsiness and alert you when it's time to take a break. The SUVs, including the sleek GLB with room to seat up to 7, the category-leading GLE, the GLS is one of the smartest SUVs on the road, the capable and stylish GLC, and the striking yet robust GLA, each model packed with cutting-edge technology that every driver deserves. Most families have one star. This family has a full team of them. The 2023 Mercedes-Benz family of SUVs. Extraordinary is one test drive away. Learn more at MBUSA.com. That's MBUSA.com.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert. Follow Cole on Twitter at RealColbert.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Wednesday edition of the show. Got to thank ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman and Des Moines Register sports writer Tommy Birch for their contributions today. No show tomorrow. We'll have coverage of the Sweet 16 beginning at 5 o'clock right here on The Fan. Good luck to everybody left in Bracket Attack, and we'll give a shout-out to our great sponsors before we're done here. Next to new auto detailing, Beaver Hills Country Club, Ted's Home and Hardware, Deary Brothers Collision Center, Rudy's Tacos, and Karen's Print Right. If you're in any of those businesses, which you should be, tell them you heard their advertisement right here on The Fan. Have a great night, everybody. I'm back Friday at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.